Hi, Rebels. This Financial Literacy Month, Rebel Girls teamed up with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families, to bring you everything you need to be smart with your money and build healthy habits that last a lifetime. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to make smart choices with every penny, whether you're saving for something special or learning to invest. Greenlight gives kids the power to be independent, and grown-ups can trust that their kids have money wherever they are. Sign up at greenlight.com/rebelgirls to get your first month at no cost and start building money confidence for life.
Once upon a time, there was a girl who lived in a stone castle near the sea. She was a pirate, and her name was Grace. Grace was born around 1530. Her family lived in Clew Bay, a beautiful spot on the west coast of Ireland that looked out into the sea. The rocky coast surrounding the bay was really dangerous to navigate, but the O'Malleys were a seafaring clan. For centuries, the family ships had ruled those waters. They fished for herring, cod, and salmon. They traded furs and hides from Ireland with merchants from Scotland to Spain. And they were pirates. Whenever they crossed a boat, or whenever they saw a castle on the coast, the O'Malley's ships descended on them and stole all they could before sailing away as fast as they'd come. No one could pass their waters without paying the family a toll. The O'Malleys were a fearless and fearsome people. Grace's father was the chief of their clan. He commanded the largest fleet of ships in Ireland. Grace wanted nothing more than to learn the ways of the sea, as her ancestors had, for generations before her. But at the time in Ireland, girls were not meant to be seafarers. Girls were expected to stay home, to cook and raise cattle, and take care of children. But Grace, she had a slightly different plan. I'm Allison Mosshart, and this is Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, a fairy tale podcast about the rebel women who inspire us. This week, Grace O'Malley. Grace loved the sea. She loved its tides, its currents, the way it changed shape as a storm gave way to calm. She wanted to know everything about her father's ships, how to steer, how to hoist a sail, and how to use a compass. Every night, from the slit windows of her family's stone castle, she looked out at the moonlit sea and practiced navigating by the stars. But her father refused to let her join his voyages. He told her she was just a child and a girl. Grace would not have it. She cut her hair short, dressed in boys' clothes, and stowed away on his ship to learn the secrets of the sea. It was incredible. Grace loved everything about the life on a ship. The cannons, the camaraderie, the salty wind on her face, and the thrill that came with the sight of another boat. "This is the life that I want," she screamed as she leaned over the rail, holding the sails with one hand, the other reaching out as if to touch the sea. But then, Grace turned 16, and her parents decided it was time for her to marry. They picked her husband. It was a man named Donal, and he was the chief of the O'Flaherty clan. There was no way of opposing those plans. So Grace got married and had three children with Donal, a daughter named Margaret and two sons, Murrow and Owen. Grace's husband was not a wise chief. He quarreled constantly with nearby clans. In revenge, those clans attacked his people, burning their homes and stealing their cows. Soon enough, the O'Flaherty clan was impoverished and desperate. They needed help, and they asked Grace to do something. And Grace didn't disappoint. With her in command, the clan raided passing ships to get the food and supplies they needed. Just as they had hoped, Grace lifted them out of poverty. These bold raids made Grace famous as a pirate all along the west coast of Ireland. By the time her husband died in one of the many fights he instigated, his clan was so loyal to Grace that many members went with her when she returned to her family in Clew Bay. Grace married again. Her new husband's name was Richard and Iron. This time, Grace would not allow herself to be tied to a foolish husband. She ordered a marriage contract that would let her leave him after 1 year if it turned out she didn't like Richard and Iron very much. But fortunately, she did. Marriages and children could not slow Grace down, nor keep her from the sea. She gave birth to her fourth child on board her ship, in the middle of a thrashing storm. The next day, as she was nursing her new son, Theobald, she heard shouting and clattering from the sailors above deck. The ship had been attacked by pirates from North Africa who stalked the trading routes. Grace could hear how hard her crew was fighting. But the other pirates fought harder. When things got ugly, Grace's captain ran to the room where Grace and her baby were resting and begged her to help. She could not believe it. Furious, she set the baby boy aside, grabbed her sword, and battled the intruders until the North African pirates were forced to retreat. All the while, Grace was screaming at her sailors for bothering her in the first place. Grace became one of the most powerful women in Ireland. One English lord who met with her wrote a letter saying, "There came to me a most famous feminine sea captain called Grainy Eye Millay." This was the most notorious woman in all the coasts of Ireland. But across the Irish Sea, another notorious woman was making plans that would change everything for Grace. Elizabeth was the Queen of England. She, too, was the daughter of a king. She, too, was a fierce and intelligent woman determined to defend her people and to make her country rich and powerful. Queen Elizabeth wanted more land to plant crops and earn money for her kingdom. She also wanted to protect her country from Spain, which was building a huge naval force to expand its empire. To do those things, Elizabeth decided she must take control of Ireland. So she sent English lords to Ireland. And to Grace's part of the country, she sent a man named Richard Bingham. Bingham became Grace's bitterest enemy. He was a soldier who loved war and hated the Irish. The people of Ireland, he said, would never be tamed by words, but with swords. Bingham wanted to show the people of Western Ireland that he was now in charge. He ordered people killed. People rose up in rebellion against his terrible cruelty, and he responded with more violence.
Hey, grown-ups. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Listen. I used to be miserable with allergies from about the beginning of April till the end of August. Sometimes my best friend was a cold washcloth over my face. I couldn't taste my food because my nose was so stuffed up. I couldn't go for a run because my eyes were so itchy. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for years, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can go for hikes, cut the grass, and most importantly, stop and smell the flowers. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
One day, Bingham had Grace's oldest son, Owen, captured and killed. She was heartbroken. And then, enraged. There was only one word she could think of: war. Grace's army wasn't nearly as big as the one controlled by the English governor, so she hired mercenary soldiers from Scotland to fight alongside her followers. She was determined to seek revenge against the man who murdered her son. But fighting Bingham wasn't going to be easy. Soon, the English army captured Grace and two of her nephews in battle. They tied Grace up with rope and dragged her in front of Governor Bingham. He had her nephews executed immediately. Grace, he said, would be next. "We will hang you in public," he declared, "and teach a lesson to all the rebels and pirates out there." Bingham ordered his men to build a special gallows on which to hang Grace. He ordered her to prison to await her death. But Grace's family managed to secure her release from jail. And as soon as she was free, Grace sailed to Scotland to hire more soldiers to fight on her side. Bingham's armies looted the Irish castles and burned their lands. They killed men, women, and children. Grace and her family took to their ships, plundering the lands of English lords in revenge. Grace was determined to destroy Bingham. Anyone who sided with the governor was her enemy, even her own son. When Grace learned that her son, Murrow, had agreed to help Bingham in battle, she was furious. She ordered her army to burn Murrow's castle and steal his cows. It was a warning to her family and all who knew them that she would not be crossed until her mission was done. Grace knew Bingham was a formidable foe. To defeat him, she needed an ally, someone more powerful than either her or the governor. Grace had used her sword to do many daring things in her life, but it took a pen, or better yet, a quill to do the most daring of all. She plunged the quill into the little bottle of ink and wrote a letter to Queen Elizabeth. Grace described the terrible treatment that she and her family endured at Bingham's hands. She asked the queen to order their governor to leave Grace and her family alone. She sent the letter and awaited Elizabeth's reply. As the letter was making its way to England, Bingham captured Grace's son, Theobald. He threw him in jail and charged him with treason. The crime was punishable by death. Enough is enough, thought Grace, and decided to go speak to the queen herself. Of all the risky voyages Grace had taken, this, by far, was the most dangerous. If she could convince the queen to see her side of the story, her son would go free, and the hated governor, Bingham, might even be sent away. But if she couldn't, her son would be killed, and Grace might be too. After all, she was a rebel and an enemy to the crown. Grace's ship sailed down the Irish coast and through the English Channel. Then, she sailed up the River Thames. At last, Grace docked in front of Elizabeth's palace in Greenwich. When, finally, the two women met face to face, they could not have appeared more different. Elizabeth, in her brilliant gown covered in jewels and embroidery, her face painted white
and her hair a brilliant red. Grace, with her simple wool cloak, gray hair, and brow weathered from years under the sun. But both were leaders of their people, and both knew that only one of them had had the courage to fight alongside her soldiers in battle. Speaking in Latin, Grace told the queen of Bingham's violence, and she made her an offer. "Release my son from prison," she asked Elizabeth. "Let him go. Let me return to my seafaring ways, and I pledge to you that I will fight your majesty's enemies when I meet them on the sea." It was a risky plan, but it worked. Elizabeth wrote a letter to Bingham ordering him to free Grace's son and to allow Grace and her family to live in peace for the rest of her life. And when Bingham returned to England some years later, Elizabeth threw him in jail. Later that year, Elizabeth ordered a new map of Ireland, one updated with all the names of the Irish chiefs who ruled their parts of the country. She told her mapmaker to add a new name to the west coast, the chieftain of Mayo, Grace O'Malley, the Queen of the Irish Seas.
From Melbourne, Australia.
Hi, I'm Anna from Cape Town, South Africa. Today's episode was hosted by songwriter, recording artist, and visual artist Alison Mosler.
This podcast is produced by Elena Favilli and Francesca Caballo, with writing and operations support by Alyssa Dudley and Darby Maloney. Sound design and original theme music are by Electro Bar Jockey. This show is sponsored by the New York Times best-selling book series, Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls.
Did you know Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls 2 just came out? Go to rebelgirls.co and use promo code REBELPODCAST to get your copy with a 50% discount. If you like this episode, please share it on Facebook, share it on Twitter, share it everywhere.
And please review it on Apple Podcasts. Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls is a production of Timbuktu. Today's host, Alison Mosshart, lent her voice to benefit Planned Parenthood and Comprometidos, where Timbuktu has made donations in her name.
Until next time, stay tuned
and stay rebel. Rebel.
Thanks for listening to this episode, Rebels. Did you know there's a whole world of Rebel Girls to explore? Go to rebelgirls.com/more to check out our latest books, t-shirts, crafting kits, and, well, more. Visit rebelgirls.com/more. Until next time, stay rebel.